When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Howdy, heroes. Thanks for returning to One Shot. It's me, your host and GM, Dylan, and it is time for a brand new series beginning this week. Strap in, because I'm about to gush about this table and this game for a few minutes before we start. So the next few weeks on One Shot, we sat down to play a session of Orbital Blues from Soul Muppet Publishing. Orbital Blues is a game about sad space cowboys. It is a game about moving on from your past pain and into the unknown. And boy, did I have a great gang to explore that kind of story with. I had first heard about Orbital Blues from listening to the season that was done over on Many Sided Media's My First Dungeon. And then, to my surprise and absolute delight, I was approached by Edward Spence to be in a short series playing Orbital Blues in Black Star on RP Geeks, the finale of which actually airs the same day as this episode, by the way, just FYI. Both of these beautiful shows featured Draconics playing their character Blank. So I invited Chinook and Brian, two parts of the Many Sided Media team, and Edward and Draconics, two true actual play cowboys, to play out a shorter story in this game with me here. One very exciting thing about this is that across all three of these, in that order, Drac continues Blank's storyline. So while this one shot operates separately as a concise story, if you want to hear Blank's full tale, My First Dungeon, Black Star, and then finally, here is where you want to go. This game and these people are literal treasures to me, and I hope you fall in love with them the way that I have while you listen to the story we tell over the next few episodes of One Shot. Enjoy the show. Wow, welcome, friends, to my beautiful, wonderful One Shot studio that's definitely a real place in real physical space and not a Zoom call. I'm so happy that you could join me here today. We're going
to
be playing.
How did I get here? Went to sleep and then I was here.
I had the same thing.
Whoa. Yeah, well, it's. You may not remember because you were being a little bit reckless and irresponsible last night, but you did agree to get into the limo and come here to the studio.
You did offer us candy.
So. I did.
That is the way to get us, yeah.
It's the One-Shot Network provided candy to you, yes.
The problem was we got in the back of this limo, and I remember expecting Twizzlers, some kind of chocolate, and getting Necco wafers and circus peanuts, and I got to say, not my fan. Not my favorite.
Not my fan.
What? You don't like dry cotton that just sort of congeals as you eat it?
I expected Twizzlers, and I will be getting Twizzlers.
See, I missed out on this entire experience, because when you said get in the back of the limo, I got in the trunk, so I missed out on all of this.
That was what the begging was. Okay.
Yeah.
I would say that you followed instructions in an exceptional way, whereas everybody else kind of just made an assumption. But that's fine. I'm not here to play favorites or anything like that. I'm not here to pass judgment. But you won't be leaving until we tell a satisfying story here today. So that's the deal.
That seems fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's we agree to that, I guess. Yeah.
That part tracks. Yeah.
We have if you'll notice, like out the window, there are crowds and crowds of people here that are ready to watch us craft this story together. Those are the heroes that are the One Shot Network listeners, fans, and Patreon subscribers. And I would like for them to get to know you all and how amazing and awesome and delightful you are. And I want us all to get to know each other a little bit better so that we can play this game in a comfy, cozy way. So I'm going to ask you to introduce yourselves, to tell the audience how amazing you are, and I'm going to ask you to tell me what fictional character death has hit you the hardest. And I will start with my friend Drac. Tell everybody how incredible and wonderful you are.
Hi, I'm Drac, Audio Conics. I'm a TTRPG producer, actor, play, performer, writer, all of that jazz. Everything and anything TTRPG related, I am doing or will be doing. Find me on socials at Draconics, that's Draconiques. And I have a hand in making pretty awesome things, I think. So I'm going to pat myself on the back about that. Got a character death that stuck with me, a fictional character death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm a big fan of anime. And this anime called Moriarty the Patriot. And it's essentially like a Japanese retelling of Sherlock, but you're following Moriarty rather than Sherlock. And spoiler alert, Moriarty dies at the
end.
And it honestly, it was really sad because in this retelling, Moriarty was more of an anti-hero than an outright villain. So you definitely like grow to love and like care for him. So him dying, not even to like push the buttons of Sherlock, but to like push Sherlock to be better, broke me. I was definitely very sad about it. And I had like an obsession of playing like characters like Moriarty after that for quite a while. So I think, yeah, Moriarty from Moriarty the Patriot.
Good, solid answer. Delicious. Thank you. Brian, tell everybody how incredible and wonderful you are.
Hey, my name is Brian Flaherty. I'm pretty incredible and wonderful. I am one of the executive producers of Many Sided Media. We make TTRPG podcasts like My First Dungeon and Talk at the Table. And I'm the usual host of My First Dungeon and sometimes GM. And I think, I feel like this is a common answer for anyone because I also was have been very into anime at like fluctuating times. And one of the first animes I watched was Full Metal Alchemist. And just by saying that, anyone who's ever watched the show knows exactly what death I'm talking about. Because I think I was in high school and I didn't know you were allowed to be that sad on television. Fully didn't know. And I remember I watched it at like, I don't know, 5 or 6 p.m. at night just thinking, oh, what another fun episode of this great show. And then it ruined.
Yeah.
So I'm so sorry. It's very funny to me to be ruined by a show that is also as silly as Full Metal Alchemist can be. It's just so much range.
It's like the first time I watched Neon Genesis Evangelion, the first like 6 episodes of that are very fun and wacky, and there's like synchronized dance moves in one episode. And then from one episode to the next, it absolutely destroys you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chinook, my love, can you tell everybody how amazing you are?
Yeah. Hey, everyone. I'm Chinook Tissera. I am a stand-up actor, writer, director, AP performer. I'm also one of the executive producers of Many Sided Media with Brian. I'm the chaos engine, baby. I think a fictional character that I love and like, well, whatever. Love is, that's a weird way to say that. From Avatar The Last Airbender, I think Lu Ten, like you don't get to see Uncle Iroh's son die, but like that death is so meaningful to the story and like also provides like, I think one of like the best moments in like the Tales of Ba Sing Se episode. And like probably one of the best like shopping and that like filler episodes ever, honestly. But Lu Ten's death and like the importance to that to like the entire story is so well done.
Yeah, it's a good one. Oh, it's getting sad in here already. Ed, my darling, can you tell everybody how amazing you are?
I can certainly try. I am Ed. I'm a forever GM, very happily so. You can find me floating from channel to channel, working on incredible projects like Beyond the Brook, 10-episode miniseries about 5 children lost in a mysterious wilderness known as the Backwoods. You can find me over on RP Geeks running another Orbital Blue miniseries, which you and Drac, I believe, are in, called Black Star.
Weird.
And you will soon be able to see me, depending on when this comes out, running the One Ring campaign over on Wounded Warrior Project, where we are telling the imagined next chapter in the world of Lord of the Rings, which I'm very, very excited about. And character death. This one's also a bit of a cop-out, because it's not technically a death, but I got into monthly comics halfway through Grant Morrison's run on Batman, which I to this day, I think is maybe one of the best runs in comics ever. And their story, Batman RIP, superheroes dying is kind of like a dime a dozen at this point, but it provides such a beautiful analysis, not only of character death in comics, but also just of Batman and how every single version of Batman that you like, whether it's the silly 60s version or the grim and gritty 80s Miller version, like all of them exist within the same space and all of them are canon and all of them are valid. And I think it's one of the most monumental stories in comics history. And then obviously Bruce Wayne came back and it was fine. But yeah, I think that run of comics is... I think it's the most exciting the Batman line has been. That year, it's telling new and different stories, which is very, very difficult to do in comics where everything is cyclical. So yeah, Batman RIP, phenomenal story. And yeah, I think just because of what that means to me, I think. So yeah, it's massive cop-out. I'm really sorry.
No, it's a delicious answer. It's a good answer. And I don't think it's a cop-out. How many people would answer this question by saying Artax from Neverending Story, and Artax fully comes back to life by the end of the movie. Like, but it's still, it doesn't matter. Like, it still hits you the way it hits you. And I am Dylan. You know me because I live here. But my favorite fictional character death, or the one that has hit me the hardest, is MK or Mika from Orphan Black, which is one of the most gruesome. It doubles as the most gruesome on-screen death I think I've ever seen. And it's shot in like a single shot rotating between Tatiana Maslany playing both characters in the scene, like right before her death. And it's just utterly beautiful and utterly brutal. And it's just a moment of like self-sacrifice for a character that did everything possible to survive up until that point. And so making that self-sacrifice was just like this enormous earth-shattering moment of a massive character growth and a character change just in the end. And I hate it. I hate it, and it's beautiful. Oh my God, that's it. I can't put it off anymore. We have to go to space.
It feels like, based on that question, this is going to be one of those like happy-go-lucky fun space games.
Yeah, we're just this is more like, this is just a romp that we're gonna have, I think. Yeah, big old romp. All right, we can go to space now. So, space ain't supposed to be this bright. It's not natural. Literally, it ain't natural. Artificial light casters and white hot reflectors have the whole Gentevel system lit up 24/7, all so that the boots can keep an eye on the floating gold mines that fill the space here. The trash left behind from a forgotten, gone, or dead civilization is full of ore and tech so advanced that riches await anyone who can scavenge these rocks without getting whisked away by the boots. This bright, ever bright space never gets dark. So much so that you probably have to have the hood down a bit, shields up, so that you can get some rest some part of the day. We see a massive barge-like ship floating. And if we zoom far out, we'll see other ships kind of laying in wait among the floating trash piles that consume the space between planets here. But on this barge is where you all are. And I want to start with our captain. Rust, where would you be most days on the ship?
Well, I'd be up front, probably. So up sort of by the controls. Rust, coming in at around 6'2", the definition of a gentle giant. Broad-shouldered, mm-hmm. barrel-chested man in around his 80s. Has the build of a really old-school boxer with a bit of a beer gut sort of gently protruding out of his cream-coloured checkered shirt, over which you can see he's wearing a very roughed-up brown suede jacket. And as he's looking out sort of through the hood of the sort of windshield, and if he were to take off his wide-brimmed Stetson, you'd probably see a couple of tufts of greying ginger hair, and you can see that his face is very tanned and craggy and deep, and in it there are these two twinkling eyes which belie his age a little bit. And even through the grey stubble and the very thick moustache that hangs over his mouth, you'd probably see a fairly permanent and kindly smile as he's just driving, looking out, and just keeping an eye on anything that the vicar would probably want to be alerted about.
Interesting. As you're sitting there in this sort of cockpit area, a sort of sliding panel in the wall pushes out, lifts up, and a tray extends with a cup of some kind of hot beverage. Are you a coffee drinker, Rust?
Oh, absolutely. And reaching out, just, thank you very much, Pearl.
Of course. Can I interest you in something to eat this time, or are you going to refuse again?
I'm going to refuse again, but I'll maybe have a check on our passengers up back.
As you wish.
And the panel slides back in and closes up again. Speaking of our other passengers, Blank, where would you be spending your time on this ship?
I'd be spending my time in bed quarters, or whatever we've refurbished to become our bed quarters.
Sure.
Just laid in a cot. And you see Blank. They're about 6'1", a black and femme body, kind of very lean, you can tell. They wear a sleeveless, probably torn off the sleeves shirt. A red scarf is draped by their side, but usually they always have it around their neck. Very Mad Max looking. They have almost like baggy pants with steel-toed boots, even in bed. Knee pads, and the strange thing about them is a blank white featureless mask over their face. They don't seem to have any problem or issue seeing, but you cannot see their expression, their face. And I think they're just laid in bed with a baseball bat in hand, just bored out of their mind, just basically knocking against the wall of the baseball bat over and over and over, as if just trying to make some kind of noise or sound.
A kind of right where you're hitting the baseball bat against the wall, similarly a panel will like struggle to open up and like kind of retract a few times. It's like,
Blank, would you mind allowing me to open?
Blank pauses, kind of holding that bat against the panel for a bit, and then pulls away. Mm-hmm. Let the panel open.
The panel opens up, and like a tray of kind of like plain ration-like food kind of is extended to you.
No one on this ship eats well. I'm going to lose it, respectfully.
You hear a sigh from behind a mask as they sit up, and as they do, the viewers, or I guess listeners, would notice that across their neck is a jagged scar. And with I assume sign language. I think there are at least cameras around that the AI, the ship, can see. So they will sign. What time is it? Is it dinner, lunch, breakfast? I can't tell here.
Well, we're not in orbit of a sun at the moment, so that's tricky. But you've been awake for approximately 8 hours, so I would say dinner.
No sign. Okay, thank you. I'll grab the rations and then wait for the panel to close and hope that they're no longer watching and just set the feed aside and get back to just banging against the wall with a baseball bat, not eating or drinking.
If you're not going to eat it, I can give it to someone else.
They sign. I thought you were gone. Are you always watching? Are you always around?
Those are two different answers. Which one would you like?
I'll eat. I'll sit up again and actually start eating.
Delicious. Vicar, where would the vicar be spending time on this ship?
I think Vicar Yucko is fully in like his like priest outfit with like a backwards baseball cap.
Oh God! Okay. Wait, yes.
Is that part of the outfit?
That's part of the outfit, obviously.
Yeah. It's part of the outfit.
Is it like a black cap, but like the little strap at the back?
No, it's like it's like a highlighter, like yellow. Baseball cap.
I don't know if anybody else has had a like Jesus is my homeboy pastor, but that is
that is the vibe. Yeah,
that's the vibe, baby. I'm also in the sleeping quarters trying to pray as Plank is hitting the wall, and I'm just like, all right, mate, I'm trying to pray here. Can you stop that?
The banging just keeps going.
Yeah, all right, that's cool. I'll just keep going. I'll just pray. That's fine. It's cool that we're all sleeping here in this. Why only us sharing rooms? That's kind of whatever. I'm just gonna pray. Dear vibe, please bring me wealth and happiness and all those things you promise. Maybe some comfort and quiet. I thought sleeping with the guy that doesn't talk would be pleasant. No, it's not.
The banging just gets louder.
All right, great. I hope you can hear my prayers over here. It's, thank you for the challenges and, Blank, what the fuck? All right, can you stop for one fucking second?
Blank pauses and looks at you for a good, like, 10 seconds and then gets back to banging.
Fuck. All right. Well, can I have your rations?
They slide it across to you.
All right, fair trade. Keep banging.
Delicious. And Brian, where would PJ be spending time on this ship?
PJ is where PJ is a surprising amount of the time, which is in the laundry room. It's particularly surprising because at this point, he only has one change of clothes. So most of you see PJ most of the time walking around in boxers and like an A-frame like tank top, carrying on a hanger, like very trying to keep it as pristine as possible, an incredibly nice three-piece suit. And a mason jar full of water with like a single flower in it that you would immediately recognize is some kind of boutonniere. And he is perpetually in the laundry room, like cleaning up any stains that have gotten on this suit, is like ironing it, making it nice and nice and fresh and good. And it's very clear that PJ is. There's a reason that the vicar isn't staying in PJ's room. PJ, you can tell from like 10 miles away, is kind of a drip. Just kind of a dull guy. And you can see that, like, this three-piece suit is like this very kind of vibrant blue. It's got like a nice fancy floral tie. This does not fit the vibe at all. This guy is a black pinstripe Men's Warehouse, you know, discount rack suit guy. This is something much nicer, and he's treating it with an undue amount of care.
I think then that Pearl does open up a new panel in this room as well to try to coax you into having a snack. Something sensible to eat, because I think Pearl has gotten to know you well enough to get you a tall glass of OJ and maybe some mixed vegetables.
It feels about right.
Yeah.
Just raw or steamed.
Raw
no
vegetables.
Seasoning.
Nothing.
Honestly, OJ, a little exotic for his taste. But you know what? Why not?
Too spicy.
Too spicy.
Too spicy.
Especially after he's brushed his teeth. Like, it's way too
spicy. Oh, yeah. Well, that's
OJ being
just...
too spicy is the biggest encapsulation of, like, whiteness. It's like that. That is PJ. OJ is a little too spicy.
And I think even in this moment, and I'm so sorry for doing this to you, but I do think that the tray sort of, like, comes out. And, like, the mechanism is just, like, a little unoiled and struggles a little bit and, like, jerks out. And I think the juice spills and gets
no!
a little bit.
No! Pearl! No! Pearl! Yeah! Pearl, what gets OJ out of a suit?
Club
Pearl,
soda.
Come on! This
club
is,
soda.
We're in the operating room!
Okay, club soda.
And shit.
Yes.
What is it? Hot water? Cold water?
Club
seltzer?
Soda.
Do you have seltzer? Soda? Give it to me.
We are out of club soda.
No! Putting bubbles into a thing. You have carbon dioxide on this ship. I know you do. Bubble it into some water. We're going to make this happen.
Who told you about my carbon dioxide supply?
Don't ask how I know. I just know. Give it to me. I need the things. I know how supply chains work. Okay, if I know anything, I know exactly what's on this ship.
The slab retracts for a moment, a long moment, and then after a few long pauses, opens back up, and a glass of club soda and a napkin are extended back out to you.
Quickly dabbing and like.
I was hoping to convince you to leave the laundry room today.
I've got to keep it pressed, okay? The wedding is in just a couple of days, and so far I've gotten 2 cigarette burns and 3 blood stains on this, and I've been able to get them out. I've been able to hide the cigarette burns a little bit. I've been able to patch them up, but this suit needs to be perfect.
How many days did you say?
I mean... Last time I checked the star chart, I think like 3 or 4 days.
We still have about that much time before you could get home. Do you still think you'll make it?
See, I have to make it is the thing. It's is it possible? I don't know. Will it happen? It has to happen. So it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. It's gotta happen. It'll happen. Everything's fine. Pearl, everything's fine.
All right.
Pearl,
bye.
I need to tell me everything's fine.
I think there's like a second and like even a whirring sound when you ask that question. And then Pearl comes back with,
everything will be fine.
I'm just... Can I roll an observation check to try to figure out if the whirring is deception motors?
Yes,
deception
you
motors.
Can.
Deception
motors.
Yes, you can.
Would this just be perception? Would this be a savvy check?
I want it to be savvy.
Okay, cool. I get +2 for that.
Good.
It's 8 + 2 = 10.
Yeah. It's not so much deception. Pearl is trying to comfort you. And in... how humans sometimes do, they comfort each other by lying. So Pearl is trying to do what people would do in this scenario.
I just kind of go, oh, thank you. And I'm like reaching out to like put my hand on a shoulder of something that doesn't exist. So I'm just kind of like, ah, and I just tap the wall.
There's just like a sort of like a bang, like a knock behind the wall back.
You're welcome. Please eat something.
Yeah. Do you have a... I'm kind of out. I've had to sell all my other clothes to get this far. And my luggage and my toiletry kits and my briefcase. And I had to barter my papers away. And... And the ceremonial pen I got for my 10-year stuff. Do you have like a spare napkin that I could use or something? I'm really just kind of anything with which to eat this food. I want to make sure nothing gets on the suit.
Yeah, I was thinking you were asking for something way bigger than just like a napkin. I actually, Rust, what are your plates look like? What kind of plates do we have on board the ship?
Oh, tin. All of them are tin. All of them are very, very dirty. Often just left in the sink to rust for around a week on end. It's right. Not very well kept. He has an oil rag, though.
Yeah. A dirty tin plate and an oiled rag are extended to you from the
Pearl.
Hull of the ship.
I'm not a picky guy. I'm just, I know that there's a clean plate on this ship somewhere.
See, I have many jobs on this ship. Cleaning dishes is not one of those jobs. You should speak to your crewmates.
This is the only boat that would take me anywhere, so I can't. But you could get me a clean plate without rust that'll fall onto the suit, and it's very difficult to... Never mind. I'll just pick around it.
The sound system comes across the entire ship, broadcasting Pearl's voice to all of you.
Hi, everyone. Could somebody please wash a dish?
No. Pearl, you know that's not what I wanted. You're being sassy and you know it.
I have no idea what you mean.
And the tray retracts back into the building. You presumably get your clean dish and are able to eat your meal. Beep boop, it's a mid-roll, cowboys. I hope you're all enjoying this little romp through space where no one is sad and nothing bad has happened to anyone. Later this week, I've got something I really hope you check out, which is on May 2nd, around 7:30 Eastern, on my home channel, Super Dylan. I will be playing in a game of power outage to support the people of Palestine. Bibars El Tayyib, who wrote and designed Power Outage, will be GMing this session for us, and it is going to be wacky and delightful and probably full of puns about breakfast foods. I really hope to see you there. All right, it's time for a word from our sponsors, and then it's back to our show. It is probably a very average evening, if you could call it an evening. But for the last week that you've been in this area of space, it has been pretty uneventful for the most part, besides moments of action when something interferes with the lights and gives everybody a chance to do what they came here to do, which is scavenge this place for riches. It's been a couple of days since any excitement, and so this evening seems to be like any other, till about an hour or so from now, there is a light in the cockpit that comes on. It is a radio. It is a private radio on a private line, only ever broadcast to those in the know. And Rust, you have the option to turn this radio on for just you or to have it broadcasted to the rest of the ship. What would Rust do?
I think seeing the notification and having been keeping an eye on Blank for the duration and knowing that she probably just wants to be kept alone for now, and seeing how highly strung our groom-to-be is, I think is just going to walk down gantried corridors until just knocking on the vicar's door and might want to come listen.
Yeah, all right. Give me a second. Blank, be good, pal. All right.
Talk to Blank you. Blank turns to you and cocks their head to the side. Yeah. No facial expression needed. You know they're looking at you, very confused. And it'll just put a thumbs up.
The vicar bows and then walks out. Yeah, what's going on, Rust?
It looks like we have a notification over the radio.
Oh, yeah, let's check it out. Also, I have a question. Does Pearl feed everyone on this ship? Because they have yet to give me any food or drink. I've been just eating Blank scraps. It's every time I'm like, hey Pearl, you there? No response at all. Like, look, hey Pearl, you there? Now you say it.
Pearl, you there?
Yes, what can I do for you?
What the fuck?
No, just testing something. You can go back in the wall now. I don't know. She doesn't really understand religion all that much.
All right, whatever. Let's go check out the radio.
Hey, Knopf, what exactly is it that you preach, Vicar?
Oh, yeah, you want a pamphlet? He pulls out a pamphlet that has it says, join the vibe. And it's like, kind of like tie-dye-y, like, back, like, the paper's like tie-dye. Like, follow the vibe is in, like, Helvetica, bold. And you look in, it's just a bunch of, like, drawings of, like, scribbles that clearly the vicar did himself. And it's, like, stick figures happy, and, like, there's money, and there's guns, pew-pew. And it's, like, do whatever you want when you follow the vibe. You interested? Want to do a consult? I can do a consult.
I think it's a little late in life for me to find God, but
thank
you nonetheless.
It's never too late to find the vibe, my friend. We'll get you it's for a small monetary donation. You can get right into the high tier.
Oh, well, trouble is, until we've completed this job, I ain't got nothing to my name.
All right, I'll put your half into the vibe. Let's do it.
I think, Yucko, I think that your faith was just rejected a little bit.
Oh, shit, I'm sad.
And I think you should take a blues for that.
Yeah, big time. I have. We start out with 4 blues, correct?
Yes, correct.
Cool. We're at 5.
I'm wondering if anything I did constituted doing something unremarkable.
I think that, you know what? I think eating unseasoned vegetables is very unremarkable. Mm-hmm. Would you like to take a blues for that? Yeah. Unremarkable son of a bitch. I love it.
And then, yeah, can we go to the radio and listen in on that super, super duper message?
Absolutely. When you tick it on, there is still a moment of static, the sound of like a radio finding a frequency. And then a voice, like, kind of muddled at first, but then coming clear into focus.
What's up, you ugly lowlives? It's your best friend Mo broadcasting to you live to let you know the scoop. You vile cretins are in luck today. We've got a brief incoming of darkness as the lights get some maintenance. And it's going to be taking place in about 20 minutes from now. So get your crews ready. And watch out, I hear that there's quite a lot of crowded space out there today, so don't get sniped, don't get arrested, and don't die. And of course, if you come away with something shiny, please come and see me, your good friend Mo, and leave me a tip for today's tip.
The kind of noise fizzles out, and a new message comes through with just a set of coordinates on your screen. As to where Mo is telling you this spot of darkness will be descending in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah. That's our in. Rust, should
okay.
we?
Okay.
You think we can get there in 20 minutes, right?
Oh, with a little bit of help from Pearl, but I can start driving over there, and you just direct me any which way.
All right, sounds like a plan. You want to tell Blank and Peach, or you want me to do it?
I'll mosey on down.
And just creaking up to his feet, just begins to walk off down the familiar corridors.
All right, I'll just hang out here. Hey, Pearl. Pearl. All right, that's fine. I'll just be alone.
Blank would probably just hear a knock on the door of their room. And
the vicar wants us to get mobilized.
There's silence, of course, and then you hear the door slide open and Blank is there, stood ready, baseball bat around on their back. And they will pull out their phone, a little like red and black sidekick, and type up, "How long do we have?" and show you the screen.
Oh, not too long. Small window. 20 minutes, I think, but Vicar will be able to give us more directions. I'm just the driver on this one.
Type up. Okay, let's just not get shut up there. Sky? ? As they show that to you.
Well, I've been riding this thing for around 60 years. Hasn't steered me wrong. Should be all right.
They look like they're about to type something and then shake their head and walk by you to walk towards the cockpit.
All right. Kind of a silent type.
And it's just going to make his way to the laundry room.
Blank, on your phone, which you routinely use to communicate with others and typing messages back and forth, your phone is routinely on like just one screen, a kind of like a blank typing screen where you send and receive your messages. And there's not much else on the screen except for a little symbol and an ever-present notification in the corner, those two voicemails that are left behind. You, as you are putting your phone, you know, back down after typing these messages, can you tell us what Blank thinks about when Blank thinks about the last time she saw Wyla?
Oh, Dylan, you monster. Okay.
That's why we're here.
I think that notification icon is only there because every time she listens to the voicemail, she basically marks it as unlistened to, unread again. This is a constant reminder. And it's from the, it feels small to say crush. It was definitely more than that, at least for her, on Wyla. The mechanic, and at least for Blank, the joy he had when it came to racing, when it came to orbital racing. And every time she sees those icons, that unread, unlistened to voice messages, she just remembers looking down at Wyla's unseeing eyes looking up at her, cradling her in her arms and crying and trying to ask her to come back, but nothing coming out.
Woof. Please take a blues for me. Thank you so much. Rust, where do you head next?
Immediately, albeit somewhat tentatively, to the laundry room. I imagine Rust has probably observed PJ's specificities from afar and is very aware that as a cantankerous and, by his own admission, not particularly tiny man, presence might not necessarily be welcome, as he just comes round the side of the door and just knocks on the frame. Knock, knock!
Come in. It's your ship. Come in, please. I didn't tell Pearl to have you wash it. That wasn't Pearl. We were doing a bit, and that wasn't. I'm not being difficult. Is all I'm saying.
Oh no, it's fine. She's frequently telling me I need to wash up after myself. Having guests is an excellent excuse to do just that.
I just want to say again, thank you for giving me passage. I know I said I'd help, and I will. I mean, obviously I will. I know supply chain, I know shipping, and I know how things are laid out and stored and where we can find stuff, but I've never done crime. This would be crime, right? This feels like crime.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, this would be crime.
Okay. It's just, I haven't participated. And I'm not saying anything, you know, there's nothing bad about crime. I'm just saying I haven't. I'm new to it.
Oh, well, it's against the law by definition. It's bad.
And I've done mostly, I've lived my whole life on one side of the law. And I see that, I see the fence that you're not supposed to go over.
Oh,
and I'm like,
okay.
And I don't go over it. But
yeah.
Because, you know, times being what they are, you being so nice to help me out and get me back home, I'm just a little nervous, so I'm just curious. Do you have any crime advice?
And he just sort of pulls up, scraping across the floor, a metal stool, and just sits down. And
this wedding that you're going to,
yeah.
I'm feeling about that pretty. Pretty nervous, I suppose.
I mean, I mean, it's, you know, it's the biggest day of your life, and I'm marrying the love of my life, and she's beautiful and weighed on my league, and there's no way I should be there. I don't deserve her, obviously, but no, I'm not. Why would I be nervous? I'm just spending all the money that I have, plus more money that I don't have, and then money on the ring, and then money on the suit, and I gotta make sure that I keep the suit good because it's the only one I can afford. But other than that, it's nothing to be nervous about. Right?
I guess the point I was going to make is that that's kind of how it feels before a crime. You invest a lot into it, and you don't know if it's going to work out. Everything may go very wrong.
What? Sorry.
People might get hurt, and... Hmm?
I don't think anything can go wrong. Nothing can go wrong. I've prepared all the things. I've made sure...
Oh, in the job. No, we could get shot. That's a very real possibility.
Oh,
or do you
want to do that part? Can I not do that part?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. You're a recall.
Oh, I didn't realize I could just opt out of the possibility of getting shot. I'd like to opt out of the possibility of getting shot.
Well, I can promise you this. My job is to keep all of you as safe as possible. And if I can help you in opting out of taking a bullet to the brain, I will.
Oh, brain. It's that specific. It can get that specific?
Well, depends on how good the opposition's aim is.
Okay. In your experience as a ship's captain, and you've been doing this for a long time, obviously, this fine hunk of ship... has been flying for some time, and what would you say, hypothetically, no reason, just because, is the safest part of the ship to be on at all times? No reason, just because, just curious.
Probably inside the dryer over there.
Great, excuse me.
I wouldn't put yourself down like that. As useless talk. I'm saying you don't deserve the person that you love. And from experience, it means nothing.
I mean, if you you've met me. You know me. I know exactly who I am and what I am, and it's good. It's solid. It's, you know, dependable. It's gonna get the job done. But it's not galaxies and supernovas and star systems and beauty beyond comprehension. It's not that. And I'm okay. I've made my peace with that. I'm fully just another brick in the wall. But she is... Oh, she is a waterfall. She is a supernova, nebula, star system. She is everything. I mean... When you find the luckiest thing in your life, you want to make sure you don't lose it, all right?
Rust, how you feeling?
Yep. Yeah. I'm just going to take a blues.
Yeah. As you do, you've just promised so much to this scared, wet cat of a man. That your job here is to protect everyone on the ship. Your job is to keep these people alive. When was the last time you failed?
It's around 15 years ago. And as I look at this comparatively young man before me, speaking about the love of his life. There was someone who used to talk about me that way. Slightly particular. He was very particular. He was very... he was from a different world. But we made it work. Until we didn't. And he shouldn't have been a part of Rust's life. My life. And we boarded the wrong ship. We should have known when we said it was one last job, what a cliche that was, but... Yeah, we got on the wrong ship. We weren't prepared. I wasn't. And I still remember the gunfire, the men all in masks, these glittering dog-shaped masks. I remember coming face to face with the devil and the gunshot that took my Robert from me. Who's my husband that I lost?
I think PJ, as he's saying this, sees the look on your face of seeing this memory, but is too young and too naive to understand anything about what it means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Russ just looks up and gives you one of those, like, old man half winks and just like lifts himself to his feet and, well, the dryer is an option, but think you're more capable than you think. Like you say, always get a job done. He just heads on out the room.
Chinook, back in the cockpit, as everybody's readying and as you're sort of like making your way to the spot you need to be in for this ambush, you had just made a pitch, got rejected. I think that happens a lot.
Yeah.
In the religion of vibes. But as you're kind of left alone in this space in the quiet, has it ever worked?
Well, not, no, it hasn't. really worked ever for Vicar Yucko. No one's ever really taken the bait.
And as you're kind of like recalling the rejections, the pitches, does it ever occur to you why? Do you feel like it's the pitch that needs reworking? Do you feel like it's the approach? Do you feel like everybody just doesn't get it? Like, what is Yucko's take on why people keep shooting it down?
I think Yucko is kind of like just staring into space, thinking about this, and is like, for a long time, was like, maybe it's just people aren't as sad or don't understand how this can help them. And I think then it's like, wait, is it me? Am I the problem? Do people just not like me? Is it my, like, is the baseball hat not relatable? Like, that's why I got it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that would help.
My God.
I think it could use one of those little propellers. I think that'll fix it.
That'll fix that.
Yeah, I think that'll fix it.
It fixes most things.
Yeah. But I think, like, overall, Vicar Yucko is more like, it's not my job to, like, set, like, I can try. If people don't want it to save themselves, that's on them.
Mm. It isn't too long. Those 20 minutes go by pretty fast before you are in the airspace of a kind of small asteroid, small in comparison to some of the others around. And even from where you are, when you like open up the visor to see out into space, you can see the flecks, the shimmers in it, the treasure that is embedded within is so plentiful that you can see it from all the way where you are. And the radio clicks back on once more.
All right, lowlives, get ready to fly. And again, please tip your tipper.
And there's a sort of like bing, bing, bing as like the timer kind of goes off. And as though it is a race, like there is the light outside turns to the blackness, the void of space that you've been used to anywhere else in the galaxy that you've traveled, returns to that sense of normalcy. But along with it, like, you can see ships zooming in all from all corners of this solar system, racing for the short window of time that you have this darkness for, all trying and gunning for this asteroid. And in the distance, even still, Pearl will come on the speaker and announce to everyone,
"To let you know, boots are incoming, although they are far from here. They will be here in about 10, 15 minutes.
Thanks, Pearl.
And you have a race against the others, a race against the boots, and a race against time to get to this asteroid if you want any part of this prize and if you want to be alive to take it.
This episode of One Shot uses music from the following artists: Front Porch Etude No. 3, Wabash Campfire, and Good Hearted Man by Heartland Knights. Grass Stain by Andy Ellison. Also, Cast Iron Skillet and Kansas Sunset by Andy Ellison. Train Track Song by Dario Benedetti. Get Up by the Mountain Dreamers. Fancy Free by Reveille. Are We Friends on Co-Star by Mandamore. Midnight Stroll by Ian Koloski. And Rooted by Lindo. Additionally, all sound effects are courtesy of freesound.org. This episode of One Shot was edited and sound designed by Tracy Barnett. Find more of their work online, anywhere, at The Other Tracy.
Heroes, thank you so much for listening to part one of our Orbital Blues series. I implore you to check out these performers and keep your eye on Soul Muppet Publishing for games about heart and soul. Next week, we will be back with part two with more adventures aboard the Rust Bucket. As always, thank you to the wonderfully generous people who support One Shot on Patreon. But if you want to support the show in a non-monetary way, it is as simple as just talking about the show. Tell your friends about the show, rate or leave a review, or tag us on socials and tell us your thoughts. For updates and One Shot news, please follow me on Twitter, Instagram, or TikTok at SuperDillin, that's SuperDillin, or check for updates on our website at oneshotpodcast.com. For information about ad rates, live appearances, commissioning episodes, or a general comment, please message me at Dillin@oneshotpodcast.com. Again, that's Dillin. Finally, the music creeping up behind me is Adventure by Be Your Own Pet, courtesy of Infinity Cap Records. I can't wait to have you back for our next adventure, heroes.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjacks role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.